and so there's like this unknown ticking clock sort of present. And so, yeah, my heart goes out to all those facing it together, and the bravery that entails, and also the, like Lenora was saying, the resiliency of how, you know, there's so many different ways of modes of research, and from your dietary to your spiritual well-being, and like all these things that support it, or just simply being with somebody you love, and how that captures and keeps you going, keeps you fighting. And so, yeah, it's been very warm and inspiring to be with.
As Hien mentioned earlier, you know, part of the inspiration for the project was when my sister got diagnosed last year. And at that time, we just were all caught off guard, and she had stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. So it had already spread from both breasts to the lymph nodes to her liver and her bones. And we were all just kind of scrambling, trying to figure out how best to support her, what would be the best mode of treatment for her. She was getting lots of different opinions from healthcare professionals that we knew or were related to. And so at that point, given what I felt I was capable of doing to help support, was I wanted to be able to interview her, and just for her to have the space to talk about whatever she wanted to share in terms of what she was going through, all the information she was learning, you know, how she felt her family was going through this simultaneously. She has 4 kids and she runs a business with her husband. So it was a huge kind of shift in her life, and it really forced her to turn the mirror on herself and take a look at how can I heal from this? You know, what is it that I need to shift in terms of my lifestyle to make the adjustments and give my body the space to heal? And so that was really it. It was that first interview with her where I felt, oh, wow. I'm just totally reminded, even though we grew up together, I was reminded, oh, my gosh, my sister, she's a strong woman. You know, she's a fighter. And there's no doubt that she's just going to keep pushing, which she did. I mean, she's always problem solving. She's always trying to think of, you know, alternatives, ways to look at things, seeking out information. And so really, I mean, if I were to say, okay, how did she heal? Well, she figured it out, you know, she can figure it out. Like, she can come to, you know, the solutions to problems. And but of course, you know, you're faced with this question of like, what's your time frame now? Mm-hmm. And how do we look at our time together?
Yes.
In a way that is generous, but also very clear, so that we can appreciate the time that we have together. And through this process for me, I did a lot of writing actually, and I did, I mean, I could share some of that writing, but we did writing as a way for me to process it, like over time. And then we ended up building this piece. You know, we have some financial support through grants, but because it was such a short timeline, really, we are still fundraising for this project.
Okay.
And so, especially if it's going to be an ongoing project, I think it's worth it to consider, you know, how can we support this type of research in the long run? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate all forms of art, and that can really open up conversations and bring people into spaces where they might not either feel comfortable or really know how to get involved, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate that you've put this together.
Thank you.
And also just highlighting so many voices and recognizing that every person has their own journey and their own perspective on how they handle a diagnosis.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I can share also the artistic collaborators in the project.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're working with longtime collaborators, Olivia Ting with the media design, and saxophonist composer Francis Wong, and bassist Tatsuo Aoki, mm-hmm. who's in Chicago. Francis is based here. And we're utilizing some existing music tracks with Tatsu's from his ensemble in Chicago. We're having some live vocalization and singing from three members of the group here during the show with a cast of seven. So we have Hien, we have Johnny Nguyen, Megan Lowe. Mm-hmm. So Megan has a background in aerial dance. She's been dancing with Flyaway Productions and teaching with Bandaloop. And we have Lin Huang and San San Kwan. San San teaches at UC Berkeley in mm-hmm. dance and performance studies. We have Jory Horn, who also has experience in aerial dance. Yeah. And so we're excited to be bringing this to you. We can also offer tickets. So again, the performances are November 1st and 2nd at mm-hmm. 8 o'clock and November 3rd at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
The program runs a little over an hour, and then we're having a post-performance panels by some of the interviewees and healthcare professionals. So each night it'll be a different panel.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And if folks would like to purchase tickets, should they go to your website?
Yes. Or, okay. Yes, which is Lenora Lee Dance, Lenora LeeDance.com. Mm-hmm.
Great. Uh-huh. Excellent. I look forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up?
No, just we hope to see you there this weekend. Again, the performance is at Dance Mission, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Friday and Saturday will be at 8 p.m., and Sunday will be at 5 p.m. And yeah, it would be amazing if you all could come out and be with us, be with the interviewees, and just share that space and time to reflect, brainstorm, and just, yeah, be with each other during this moment in time.
Yes, and I would imagine that each performance will be not only unique in that all performances are unique, and I imagine that given the folks who will be there afterwards, the conversations afterwards will be different as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So folks could come every night and see a different performance. Mm-hmm.
I can share a couple of writings. Hien has some writing as well that we did as part of this project and process. This is something that I wrote. I'll give a couple of short excerpts. Mm-hmm. I received a voicemail from my father who said, Karina's oncologist called and said the cancer has spread from both breasts to her lymph nodes to her liver and bones. I hold myself up against the glass windows separating me and the pool from the lobby on the outside. I call my father and he confirms it. Standing in the shower, water flows from the pools of my eyes to cross the intersection of the chlorine water being rinsed from my skin down into the drain of forever. They said this type of cancer isn't detected on regular mammograms. It was only until I complained about the masses that they ordered the 3D ultrasound for me. The technician knew right away that it had spread. Through the blood and the bones, through the tissues and organs, infectious, seeking pathways of their own to new territory, new cells, inhabiting more and more space in her being. If it's not an uncommon type of cancer, why don't they screen as a preventative measure? Then they're missing entire populations who have this. We feel the rivers flowing through the depths of her veins, through the question of tomorrow, through the broken visions of the future, to the pale softness of her skin, holding the storm inside. Here's one more short one that's a little bit more general. The tides that ripple behind and in front, immersed in a sea, an ocean. The sunlight glistens across the tips of the waves out to the abyss of the horizon. The nerves calm. Everything releases to the beauty of this water all around, as wide as one can see, as deep as the center of the earth, extended for thousands of years, for generations of life, hosting and giving birth to creatures abound. Look closer. What do you see? Can you see beneath the surface of where the air meets the waves, this dividing line of land creatures and those of the sea? A fourth wall? A fifth wall? Who is the viewer and who is being witnessed? Dive into the ocean of sun rays beaming down through the ripples of the water. As you fall closer and closer to the earth, through the stratospheres, the layers of life, the oxygen amasses, where will you land? Who will you meet? What journeys will come about?
Do I have anything?
Is this you? Ian has a writing also.
From the self, beyond the self, a collective consciousness, the interconnectedness of all beings, universal frequencies, love in its purest form of frequency, energy, our capacity to awaken compassion, clarity, seeing the goodness and light in ourselves and the universe. We inherit the deeds, the trauma, the gifts of our ancestry, but spiritually and morally, we can be binded, traced, overcome, and bestowed with both burden and gift. Walking serendipitously, highest frequency, love the selfless, giving of mother figures. There is an allowance that opens the window of the being, two channels, the voices cry and call of that which is necessary to be manifested and shared.
Oh, thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Aww. I think that's a nice way to close.
Yeah. Oh, Lenora and Ian, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Roman.
Very much look forward to the performance.
Yeah. We can offer some tickets, too, to your listeners.
Oh, yes.
So whenever you feel like it, we can give 3 pairs of tickets away.
Okay.
Yeah, for the Friday performance, November 1st.
Oh, wonderful. O'clock.
Yeah, and we'll put it that way. If 3 tickets, just email us at lenoraleedance2@gmail.com. That's Lenora, L-E-N-O-R-A. Lee, L-E-E, dance, D-A-N-C-E, 2@gmail.com. Just email us and mention Mutant Radio and your first name and last name, and the first 3 people to email us will receive those 3 tickets.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to take a bit of a music break here, and then we'll be back with the rest of the program. So thanks again for being here, and we'll see you the first weekend of November.
Yeah. See you, Roman.
Yay. Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Weekly Review. Big thank you to Lenora and Hien for coming in. Really looking forward to checking out this show. For more info, again, please go to lenoraleedance.com. So right now, it's technically Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. This show will be replayed again this Friday, October 25th. So, yeah, that's the date. Wow, lots on my mind at the moment. Did want to say thank you so much for tuning in. And so recording on a different day, I'm feeling a little bit all over the place with my head. And we're still going to put this all together. One would think that recording a little bit in advance might include having more things being complete or run smoothly, and that's not necessarily the case. Also, I listen to a lot of other podcasts, and oftentimes there are folks who they think they're producers and everything, and then I remember, putting this together, I have a lot of voices and a lot of folks here, and at the end of the day, I don't have a producer exactly, so perhaps that's why it feels a little bit rocky at times. Anyway, we do appreciate folks listening. And now I'll be going into another part of the show. Yeah, I'm going to mostly just have other folks talking during the show because I am getting my thoughts together. Did want to acknowledge that we are on Ohlone land. And for folks, if you'd like to read up more, you can go to raymaytush.com. And that is RAMAYTUSH.com. And it talks about the history of the land and folks who were on the land before it was colonized. So wanting to put that out there as a resource. Also, especially for folks in the East Bay, to please pay the Shumi land tax. And you can type in S-H-U-U-M-I land tax, and that will bring you to the Segurite Land Trust in the East Bay area and learn more about the Ohlone folks and give back to the land. Okay, cool. So, coming up next, I am going to be playing an excerpt of a previous show that we did on September 27th, 2019. An election's coming up in San Francisco. I used to describe myself as an anarchist who votes, which I guess is kind of contradictory. However, I recognize having certain people in positions of power who aren't terrible is better than having people in positions of power who are. And, wow, that's a great promotion. Anyway, did I mention that we don't really edit the show? Therefore, we did want to play a previous interview that we did with Chesa Bodine. And Chesa is running for district attorney here in San Francisco. And you know Chesa's on the right side of things because the Police Officers Association are already donating to a PAC to influence the person who's running against him, or the person who's got the most votes against him so far, Susie Loftus, who the mayor has decided to put in even before the election. The police officers, the association supports her. So recognizing that someone who wants to really work for reform is running, that person should have the support. I hope this sounds like a decent endorsement. It's true. We are endorsing him. And if you'd like to hear more, and you most certainly can hear more, check out the interview with him that we had on the show a couple weeks ago. And we're going to be playing that in just a few minutes here. Wow. Okay. Whew. So, again, you can find it at the Mutiny Radio archive. If you go to mutinyradio.fm. I'm going to get my thoughts together and chill out for a little bit. So in the meantime, I'm going to play a little bit of a music break, and then we're going to go into the interview with Chesa Bodine. And again, if you want to check out there's a couple of voting guides that are out in San Francisco. There's the Pissed Off Voters Guide, and they have endorsed him. Juanita Moore has also endorsed him. A lot of folks have endorsed him. So again, November 5th, vote for Chesa Bodine. And yeah, also if you're in District 5, Dean Preston. So that's where we're going. All right. So now going to put on some music and then we'll get to our interview so you can hear more from Chesa himself. Again, a big thank you to folks tuning in. And if you'd like to support the station, that would be super helpful. You can go to mutinyradio.fm. There's a... donate button. Wow, you know, I meditated this morning. I even worked out a little bit this morning. I biked this morning. One would think that perhaps I'd be more clear-headed, and I am still just so, there's so much going on in the world, and that's always been the case. However, just a lot going on. So thanks for bearing with me. Also, I'd appreciate it if you could donate to the show. It'd be a big help. I come here, I volunteer, I do the show, try to just talk about important things that are happening, and I'm happy to volunteer my time, and also, if folks could donate, it would also help out quite a bit. So, if you're able to, go to patreon.com/weeklyrev. Anywhere from $1 a month and more would be greatly helpful. Thanks to all the folks who do donate. All right. And here's some music. And then, as mentioned before, we'll have the interview with Chesa that we did a few weeks ago. Please do vote, if that's something that you're into, on November 5th, and help get out the word to folks who choose to vote. And here's an end of one song, and then, yeah, this is one of the rougher shows that I've done, and that's okay, because that's how life is.
Appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Thank you. And welcome back to the Weekly Review, joined here by Chesa Boudin. Chesa, thanks for being here.
Great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I thought we could start off if you wanted to talk a little bit about what brings you into the studio. It could be pretty much anything, but whatever you'd like to start with.
Well, I'm excited to be a candidate for San Francisco District Attorney. The election is about 39 days away from today. And it's a really unique and exciting moment in San Francisco history. It's the first time in over a century where there's no incumbent running for re-election. And it happens to coincide with the first time in really any of our lifetimes when there's been a broad national consensus that the criminal justice system is broken, that the status quo approach is not making us safer, is wasting tax dollars, and is destroying families and communities. And it's that intersection of San Francisco circumstance with national criminal justice reform movement that led me to decide to run for San Francisco District Attorney.
And I think many folks could argue that the criminal justice system isn't indeed broken, but it's working as it has been designed, which is to cause a lot of harm for many people.
Right, two sides of the same coin. It's it's a question of framing. What we know is it's costing us about 10% of our state budget just for the Department of Corrections. That doesn't account for local expenditures at the county level. And we know that it's a system of mass incarceration where the United States leads the world in locking people up, 25% of the world's prisoners. And we know that the impact of that incarceration rate is not evenly distributed. It's much more likely to fall heavily on black and brown communities, on LGBTQ communities, transgender communities. And in San Francisco in particular, we have a horrific problem with racial disparities in incarceration. About 4% of the city's population is black, but more than 50% of the jail is black. And that's really one of the most visible manifestations of what people have come to call mass incarceration.
Yes. Yes. And also we've seen like with the homeless sweeps too, like homeless folks and I think folks with who are mentally ill are also can be victims of police violence quite a bit as well.
We've seen over decades of increasingly tough on crime policies, an approach that really criminalizes poverty, criminalizes mental health, and criminalizes drug addiction in ways that are not only inhumane and wasteful of resources, but also actually undermine public safety. And my campaign is really all about bringing a new, fresh approach to criminal justice, one that takes a broader view of the context in which crimes are committed, and that focuses on trying to prevent crime and heal the harm that crime has caused, rather than simply punishing people who've committed a crime.
Yeah, absolutely. I was reading an op-ed earlier that folks had written about how police are sometimes brought into the ideas to solve the problem, but they end up causing more of the problems.
One of the things we see, that's exactly right. You know, one of the things that we see, especially in high crime neighborhoods and in heavily policed neighborhoods in San Francisco and across the country, is that many people who are victims of crime, whether it be domestic violence or shootings, hesitate to call the police to report crimes because of their fear, in some cases of retaliation, but in many cases, fear that the response by the police will actually re-traumatize them or create more problems. That's something we need to change. And it has to start with restoring the integrity of the police department, restoring and rebuilding the trust between communities and law enforcement that's sworn to serve and protect those communities.
Pardon me, I'm a little bit skeptical of being able to, if it's systemically, if police have been brought in to, in many ways, protect property and wealthy folks, is it possible then to even save that institution? Is it even worth saving?
Well, so I think that's the challenge, is to find ways to make sure that our law enforcement is not just working to benefit and protect the few, but is actually working for all of us. So I've dedicated my life to ensuring that the criminal justice system benefits everybody, protects everybody, not just the rich and powerful and the well-connected. And we know that in San Francisco, as across the country, all too often, whether you're a crime victim or whether you're someone who's accused of committing a crime, the quality of justice you receive depends on the color of your skin, what zip code you live in, and how much money you have in your bank account.
Right.
And that's got to change. And that's why I'm running for district attorney.
Cool. Great. So what got you interested in deciding to pursue this path?
Well, let me take you back to the beginning. When I was born, my parents dropped me off at the babysitter. I was about 14 months old. And they had it off for the day, told the babysitter they'd pick me up that night, but they never came back. While I was at the babysitter, my parents participated as unarmed drivers in a tragically bungled armed robbery that left three men dead. Mm-hmm. Those men had families, had children. Those families were torn apart by the crime my parents participated in. Mm-hmm. Even though my parents weren't killed or physically injured that day, our family was also torn apart because of the crime my parents committed. My mother ended up serving 22 years in prison. My father is still incarcerated. He may never get out. As a result, my earliest memories are going through steel gates, waiting in lines of mostly black and brown women and children, just to see my parents, just to give them a hug. Years, decades now of visiting my parents in prison taught me some hard lessons about how broken our criminal justice system is. Broken for victims of crime who have so little to show for the billions of dollars that we invest in punishment. Broken for the people who've been convicted of crimes, who go to what we call the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, but where we know no one is being corrected or rehabilitated.
And we
have recidivism rates of above 2/3 in California, and even higher in San Francisco County Jail. And of course, the system is also broken for the communities where crimes are committed, because those communities are being torn apart. Instead of investing in education, building new schools and universities, California has focused for decades on building new prisons. Instead of providing equal justice, we've got this horrifically discriminatory system that undermines public safety called money bail, which I'm proud to say I fought for years to end. And it's those kinds of problems that I saw firsthand growing up, day in, day out, going into prisons to visit my parents. Recorded Department of Corrections phone lines. And thinking about how little punishing my parents was doing to heal the harm. That's sort of the life journey that led me to decide to become a San Francisco. We'll be right back.
Hello, hello.
Oh, four comments. Oh.
Test, test, 1, 2, check, check. Is this loud enough?
Welcome, can you guys hear me outside with this one? Cool. Welcome to Muni Radio. We actually have people here, so we're going to get started 2 minutes early. What? It's going to be wild. All right, I'm going to do a few minutes, and then we'll keep it going. So give it up for the one and only Joshua Katsky.
Thank you, thank you. You didn't have to do. I've updated my look, so I'm a stoner now. Yeah. Or I don't know, like a lot of Jews, I might be joining the Beastie Boys. Who knows? We're gonna work on it. I'm gonna go through a bunch of random shit here and we're gonna see what works. First off, like, did you guys hear Olivia Newton-John died today? So like the woman from Greece and a bunch of, you know, other stuff from before my time, but like she died. It's been really weird listening to people on the radio talk about it because they're all like, oh, Olivia Newton-John died. You know, she was my first childhood crush. And